Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the path that's always winding upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause this heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart can go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home. Until the day my eyes behold that city, until the day God calls me home.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning I have posted my Mother's Day sermon, Rejoice Thou Barren That Bearest Not. You may think that is a strange title for a Mother's Day sermon, but it will become clearer as the message unfolds. The title of the message comes from Galatians 4:7, where the Apostle Paul quotes a similar passage from chapter 54 of the book of Isaiah. This passage of scripture is both allegorical and prophetic in content. It is an allegorical prophecy. The scriptures are so beautifully bound in innumerable nuggets of truth, wrapped in so many different literary structures and styles. As we break them open, they glisten with such illustrious truth and meaning. Our Lord is a wonderful wordsmith as he unfolds his truth to us. There are seven significant and honorable women in the Holy Writ who were barren for a duration before they bore a child or children. Some did not bear a child until long after the childbearing age, wherewith such miraculous birth were truly the sign of the providential hand of God. Many of the barren women of Scripture bore some of the mighty heroes of the faith. Mothers, may you especially enjoy today's message As you have been a blessing to your children, may your children rise up and call you blessed. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. If you missed an episode of this program or would like to review a past radio broadcast, please go to the Freedom 95 podcast page at freedom95.us/podcast or find past sermons on the Crown of Life Baptist Church YouTube channel and please hit the subscribe button. Rejoice Thou Barren That Bearest Not, Part 3.
The whole purpose of writing the book of Hosea to display how Israel was a prostitute to the Lord and played the harlot and went after other gods. And God in the book of Isaiah calls Israel the sister of Sodom. And so you have God's first wife. Well, the church, isn't the church the bride? Yes. Yes, the church is a bride. But Israel was God's first wife. Do you see why God allowed those two wives situations in the Old Testament that we read there with Abraham and Isaac and not really Isaac, but Jacob? And Elkanah. But what does that mean? Oh, sing, O barren thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Well, what does that mean? You need the Apostle Paul in the New Testament to interpret that. And here is the allegory. Open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. I put just one verse of the whole portion I want you to read, but I want you to look at Galatians chapter 4 verses 21 through 31. And we'll start with verse 19. My little children. That's interesting. The Apostle Paul uses that little phrase, my little children. The Apostle John uses that in his epistles, calls them my little children. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Means Paul is laboring that his believers will transform into the image of Christ, that they will grow and mature in the faith. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. You're not going in the right direction, Galatians. You're not going in the right directions. Listen to my words. Tell me, now here it is. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. Okay, crucial point here. The one by a bondmaid means a servant, a slave, a servant, and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. What is that saying? You two, Sarah and Abraham, you doubted me. You doubted my promise. And you presumptuously jumped the gun and had Hagar conceive a child by Abraham so you could have a son. Because you thought, hey, we're getting older and older and older, and God, you're not answering our prayers. We'll just go ahead and we'll force the issue and have that son through Hagar. So Basically, that was born after the flesh. It wasn't born after faith. But he of the free woman was by promise, the promise of faith, the faith promise. Verse 24, which things are, there it is, are an allegory. An allegory. What is an allegory? An allegory is a figurative sentence or discourse in which the principal subject is described by another subject resembling it in its properties and circumstances. The principal subject is thus kept out of view, and we are left to collect the intentions of the writer or speaker by the resemblance of the secondary to the primary subject. Allegory in words is what hieroglyphics are in painting. We have, and there's an allegory in Psalm 80 that I want to point out here in a little bit, in which God's chosen people are represented by a vineyard. The distinction in Scripture between a parable and an allegory is said to be that a parable is a supposed history and an allegory a figurative description of real facts. You know where we talk about the parable of the rich man that went into a far country and left his vineyard, he planted a vineyard? That starts in Psalm 80. That he planted a vineyard. He took a vineyard out of Egypt, and that was Israel, and planted it in the land of promise, and removed the people from that land. That was the Canaanite people. And you go to Psalm 80, and that's where you learn about the parable when he says, a rich man went into a far country after he planted and he left his vineyard to the husbandman. And we talked about that in our Bible study. And that's an allegory. Well, here is another allegory. And it tells us this is an allegory. Which things are an allegory, verse 24 here in Galatians, for these are the two covenants. Huh. Hagar and Sarah represent the two covenants, the New Testament and the Old Testament. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, that's, they just dropped the H there, Agar, but Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, means present Jerusalem, in the earth, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. I've taught that multiple times in past sermons, that the new Jerusalem in the heavens that will come down to the new earth, that is the mother of us all in the New Testament, the new covenant. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren. Here Paul is quoting Isaiah. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You and I, sitting in this room, moms, you are a child of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but children of the free. That is a mouthful of allegories. First off, throw out that old fleshly nature. Cast it out. That's Hagar. That's the allegory. Throw it out, that old nature, and follow the promise of Sarah. Then in the grander scope of things, the barren woman is the church. It's the Gentile church. In the Old Testament, it's all about Israel. It's all about Israel. Israel was to be the light. And we see that those who are going to be in the kingdom from the Old Testament. And what it's saying is, because of grace, the age of grace, the new covenant, there's going to be far more children in the kingdom than from the Old Testament. There's going to be far more children. These last 2,000 years, the Jerusalem from above has generated far more children for the kingdom than the married wife, which is Hagar. And so the Gentiles, because in the Old Testament, Sarah, what did I say?
Hagar.
Yeah. Well, Hagar, yeah, but Hagar represented Israel in the Old Testament. And so, the Old Testament will not generate as many children in the kingdom as the New Testament will, which is figurative, or Sarah is a figure of that new covenant. And like I told you in our Bible study, the Old Testament is blind to this church age and the Holy Spirit moving upon the lives of millions of people for 2,000 years. Totally blind to it. And I've told you about the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, chapter 9, Daniel 9. That whole 70 weeks is all about Israel. And I told you there's a great pause. 70 weeks that, and a week is seven. So it's 70 times seven, 70 years times 7 years, because it's weeks of years. Oh, that gets into a whole, there's weeks of days, weeks of years, and weeks of millenniums. Week just means seven in Scripture, just means seven. We just think of weeks, seven days. But in Scriptures, it's weeks just means seven. So, lost my train of thought. What happened? 70. Oh, Daniel, yeah, 490 years. Well, the last 7 years has been paused for 2,000 years, because that clock only ticks when Israel is in the eye of God. And God's eye has departed from Israel for this 2,000 years, been the great pause, not the great reset, the great pause in Scripture, and that last 7 years, that's why they call that tribulation period, the 70th week of Daniel 9, because then all the eyes, Revelation is a great book for it. Chapter 2 and 3, you just see what? Church. Seven churches. Right after that comes the rapture, and then all the focus now is on Israel. You got the 144,000 witnesses, and then you have the woman that was in travail and brings forth a child, and that speaks of a remnant, that a saved remnant of Jews, and so what this allegory is, a fantastic allegory. It speaks about that the bride of Christ will bring more children into the kingdom than Israel brought in the Old Testament. And, you know, in Luke, you don't have this passage in your Bible, but it says in Luke, we looked at it in, I think, our Bible study, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when they shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out, Jesus speaking to the Jews, And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. It means the Jews aren't going into the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Many of the Jews, because they were the adulterous wife, and there's going to be many Gentiles from all the four corners of the earth that will come into the kingdom and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Does that make sense? That makes sense? But that's a great prophecy in Scripture. The fruit of the womb from Deuteronomy. For thou art a holy God unto the Lord thy God. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him. Now this is written to Israel, but this is can be written to the church. And it says in verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments. And then it says further down in verse 13, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine and thy oil and the increase of thy kind. Means the cattle and the flock of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. So the Lord says, if you obey my commandments, I'm going to bless you. Like I said, when Samuel was born, Israel was in tremendous sin. And that's why Elkanah had two wives. But Eli was a horrible, he wasn't that horrible, but his sons were very horrible. The Bible tells us they slept with the women that came to the temple. They're just wild men. And we'll end it here with this beautiful psalm, Psalm 113, moms. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. So moms, we praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for you. And you need to praise the Lord to make you a mom. It made you a mom. And the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God? Who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. What's really interesting? You go to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8, Hannah's prayer. And this is David quoting Hannah's prayer, part of Hannah's prayer. And he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the needy out of the dunghill. What does that mean? The meek, the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. 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 God is merciful to moms. Merciful to these women that we have read about in the Scriptures. And he's merciful to you and I. And mothers are important in the Scriptures. They brought great men in the Bible, and they had tremendous faith. And Hannah and Sarah, they'll be in the kingdom. So not only will we be eating with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we'll be eating with Rebecca, Sarah, and Rachel, and Hannah. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for these great saints of the Old Testament and the New Testament that we read about, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to walk in their ways, walk in the ways of Christ as they walk and follow you. Lord, may we do the same. Lord, forgive us where we fail thee, Lord. Help us to succumb to the Holy Spirit and not succumb to the flesh. Help us, Lord, to be filled with the flesh. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. Give us power from on high. May we find our strength in the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for each person here. Thank you especially for the moms as we recognize them this day. And we give you the praise and the honor for them. Lord, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mom. And Lord, we thank you for that each birth is miraculous. Not only the physical birth, but the spiritual birth. And we love you, Lord. And thank you again for our church, our congregation. Love each person here. Lord, again, thank you for each parent here. Thank you for moms, dads. Thank you for the children. And Lord, thank you for the voices that you've given some in our congregation. We thank you for our small little congregation. There's so many beautiful voices that love to sing. And Lord, for us who don't have the beautiful voices, Lord, you tell us just to make a joyful noise. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.